to them girls loose.
Yacht will snap it. Cundin Freddy, snap back. Ball down. Kick is up. On the way. It is up. It is good. Billy Cundiff wins it at the buzzer. And the Browns have won in Atlanta. 26-24.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, on the call of Billy Cundiff's game winner, set up by a pitch and catch from Brian Hoyer to Miles Austin, and the Browns win it. And Dog Pound, your home team made 9 game-changing plays yesterday, which means your game-changer multiplier is 10 times today only at Horseshoe Casino Cleveland. Make sure you get to Horseshoe today and redeem your game-changer multiplier. Again, that's a run of 10 or more yards, a pass of 20 or more yards, or a turnover. And the Browns continue to generate those turnovers defensively. They are one of the best in the NFL at it. They had a couple more in this game. They now have turned over the ball 15 times, taking it away 15 times in the past 7 games alone. So this defense continues to make plays despite the injuries. And speaking of injuries, Ian Rappaport saying on Twitter right now that a source says Tashaun Gibson suffered a grade 3 MCL injury, no ACL damage, could return for the playoffs if the team keeps him active. Mary Kay Cabot says, source tells Cleveland.com, the exact same thing. So, Matt, you've had this injury before. What are they talking about here?
You're talking about a solid 6 weeks, and that's best case scenario. And that means when he comes back, he is ready to assume full responsibility, barring any setbacks in his physical therapy to recover. And it's tough. It's going to be very, very hard to bend because when that MCL snaps, in this case, it was probably a mid substance, which means it kind of tears in half. It's a non-surgical fix. And as funny as it might be, you think a torn ligament needs to be stitched back together, but the MCL does not. So it's going to be just physical therapy every day. He's going to have to, walk and then, crawl, then walk, then jog, then run. And it's just going to be about building the strength back in that knee and getting full range of motion back in that knee first and foremost.
Thank you, Dr. Wilhelm.
You're welcome.
I've been there before, and the thing is, Matt, you're exactly right. It's a non-surgical procedure. I would imagine they're going to put him in a cast so he can't bend that knee, and what you'll let the MCL do is actually scar over.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to say that he'll be on a stationary bike, he'll get to know a stationary bike
really
well.
Yes, he will.
Because he's going to have to keep that scar tissue from forming, and getting too stiff. So he'll be bending that leg, and that'll probably be the most painful part of this thing once he lets it scar over.
But amazingly, this Browns team, which had lost guys, you lose Tashaun Gibson there in this game, and yet in steps Jim Leonard, in steps Jordan Poyer. The defense continued to play well and make the plays when they had to get the Browns this victory. We do want to hear from you. It's a Victory Monday. It's a celebration for everybody. And, of course, the Browns 7-4 after this 26-24 win down in Hotlanta. We're going to go to the phones now. We've got Bob in South Euclid. Bob, welcome to the show.
How you doing, guys?
Good man.
Hey, two things. First of all, I think that we need to discontinue this chatter about Hoyer. I think, if you really understand that this guy's first year starting, the things he's done already, the future is bright for this guy, and I hope we don't go off half-cocked looking at the fact that he's not done well thus far and have thoughts of getting rid of him. Second thing, those two interceptions, I think, were just the fact that Gordon and Hoyer at this point were not on the same page, and that is the one in the back of the end zone and that one when Hoyer was going down, when Gordon was going down the center of the field, then he turned right because I believe Ryan threw the ball straight down the field, but then Gordon went right on him, and I think that's what caused that. But this is the other question, and that is Kiki, is his shoulder healed yet, or is it still bothering him?
Whose shoulder?
Kiki.
Mingo, yeah, his shoulder is still bothering him, and it will bother him all year. He's really gutting it out of basically playing, with one arm out there. The right shoulder is still bothering him significantly. So I think when you see him go out there and make those plays, and sometimes he runs by somebody, can't get the tackle because he's got basically one arm, that you got to be impressed with the effort he's putting forward.
Absolutely. And one other question, one other statement. We might have 2 Pro Bowl corners if he keeps playing like this, and I'm talking about Buster.
Yeah, Buster Screen continues to play very, very good football. Had a pass breakup, almost a near interception in this one. Again, I thought he played well. Brian Hoyer is not going to be the prettiest quarterback you've ever seen, but it ultimately, at the end of the day in this one, he came through when he needed to. And I'd rather have a guy who is makes maybe some questionable decisions, makes some questionable throws, but at the end of the day, when you need to get into field goal range, he gets you there and you win.
I'd like to bring this point up that, yes, Brian's a winner right now, and we all have to ride this wave because it's a lot more fun to win these games than it is to lose it. Where the nitpicking comes in is you cannot afford at this time in the season to give the ball away three times.
No.
And when you start getting
and twice in the final 5 minutes,
you can't do it. You've got to protect the ball at the 6-yard line. You've either got to throw the ball way out of bounds if you're going to get rid of it, or you've got to drop or do something or hand the ball off. But you can't throw the ball off your back foot and turn the ball over. But what I want to say about this is we've been – I talked about this a little bit last week, and it's true again. We're playing some teams that aren't very good, okay, and that's the truth. They're not very good. So what's happening now is we're under a microscope. You cannot turn the ball over. You can't make stupid plays because we're in the hunt for this thing. Brian's a winner, and we're all going to ride this thing until that stops, and hopefully it never stops. But – we've got to be very, very particular with how we handle the ball going forward because any mistake here on out could ruin our chances of playoff.
And you're right about that. And I think, you know, my take on is very similar to yours. I love the fact that Brian Hoyer is leading and he is, you know, fearless in the end when we need to win football games. But there will come a time, and that time is coming right now in these last 5-6 football games where we'll play quality opponents where 3 turnovers and no touchdowns is not good enough, and it will not only lose you football games, you will get blown out and embarrassed by giving Andrew Luck 3 more opportunities with
point.
The football.
That's a great
you know,
point.
And that explosive offense, what does it do?
And the thing that you know you're talking about, that here's the difference. Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, those three guys are all in the AFC. You turn the ball over to any three of those quarterback 3 times. You
get 2 of 3 of them will be touchdowns, and the other might be a
exactly.
field goal.
So that's my point. That's where we've got to be very, very protective of this ball right now. So, again, ride this wave. Let's keep riding it. Brian, do whatever you've got to do, whether it's fourth quarter comebacks, whatever it is, continue to win. But those things have to get cleaned up, and they become they're under the microscope right now for sure.
And I think Kyle Shanahan is an MVP of this organization.
No
with
doubt.
What he has done offensively. But sometimes I think – when you get down there and you know what you're dealing with personnel-wise, and I like it. Listen, the play action was there. It was a good idea to run Gordon. You did have the one-on-one. He was one-on-one with Trufant. Trufant did a good job. You're right. Throw that ball away. But the last 3 runs, Crow, West, and West had gone for 39 yards. You have
right.
first and goal to 6. I think you're starting to impose your will. Bring the Crow in the red zone and give him the ball 3 times. And you're probably not going to need to give it to him 3 times. You'll probably only have to give it to him once, and he's going to score.
Exactly. And also, too, if we really want to be critical of that situation, first and goal on the 6, take a sack, lose 12 yards. You've got 2nd and 22, but what you've done is you're still in Billy Cundiff's wheelhouse. You secure 3 points right now,
right.
and you give back that Atlanta offense. They don't have to go score and get past the 50 and kick with Matt Bryant, you know, in his home stadium. They've got to go score a touchdown,
right.
you know, and that's a different ball game. Secure point. The one thing that you cannot walk away from in that situation is 0. That's not good enough.
When you look at that play, too, you know, the problem with it was Brian threw off his back foot. You know, when Brian has a chance to stand in there and plant on his back foot and then transfer his weight to the front foot and deliver the ball, he's really good. But when Brian has to throw on the run or something may not be just perfect for him, he struggled a little bit. And that was just one of those plays where I guarantee you Brian's in there right now watching himself on film, and he's disappointed that in that situation, again, you're at the 6-yard line, you turn the ball over, and you threw the ball off your back foot. Those just aren't good things. And we lucked out there again. And I think we lucked out for one reason, two reasons. One, we're a good enough football team to atone for our mistakes in the game, and they did that. The other thing is we played a pretty bad Atlanta team.
Certainly we did. And it was a game, honestly, that I felt the Browns should have won by 20.
Right? Agreed.
We had the 2 turnovers, couldn't score on them. I thought this was a team where the Browns were better up front on both sides of the ball, controlled the game, allowed them to hang around, allowed them to stay in it, ultimately almost gave it away. But finally, the Browns found a way to come through and get the victory. Let's go to our man Chevy in New Jersey. What's up, Chevy?
Chevy,
are you there?
Hello?
Emmett, we got Chevy? All right, let's try Stan in Brooklyn. Hey, what's
Hello.
Up? What's going on?
Look, you know, 11/27/43 is Thanksgiving Day. That's my birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
And, you know, this was a gift for me. It was a memorable win, okay, amongst many that I've been down to the old stadium and the new facility. I haven't had too many good memories, you know, and it helps pay for that $50,000 or $60,000 that I spent over the years. basically, a little bit when it comes to Hoyer and Josh, look, when they get in sync, watch out, okay? And the resiliency of the Cleveland Browns and the coaching staff and everything that's going along with it, I never wavered one bit, even towards the end with all of I analyzed every quarter, okay? I'm breaking it down, all right?
Yep.
And I never gave up until the end. Never, 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 okay?
That's what this team does, and that's why they're successful.
And, you know, God was on our side again. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. The other thing I wanted to mention, I know I was at the top 98% of my prediction of 98 yards, okay, for Crowell. How come I'm not getting the sweat?
You are 98, but amazingly, our guy, I'm glad you brought this up, Paul in Akron, if you are listening, Paul in Akron, call in, get your information to Emmett, because he had 24-20 Browns, which is pretty close, 26-24, okay. And he had 88 on the dot for the Crow.
Well, hey, I came in second.
You came
Don't I get something for my birthday?
This is the National
Seriously,
Football League.
Yeah, you get Joe Jaravicious singing happy birthday to you.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there we go. All right, I got to petition Kevin Griffin, I guess. Okay. Yeah,
we'll see what we can do. All right, thank you so much, Stan. All right, let's get Alan Mansfield in here with us now. What's up, Al?
Hey, yeah, guys, I'd really like to say those games like that are – I'm getting old enough. Those are hard on my heart. I had a question I'd like to get. I had a question I'd like to give out a game ball if I could.
Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, with Gibson going down, is it going to be a tandem of Poyer and Leonard? Is there a third person, or do you think one person will get most of the playing time?
Yeah, I think you're going to see Jim Leonard get the majority of the playing time, but Poyer will also get some work in there. And let's not forget, this is a team that likes to go three safeties a lot of the time. And we were seeing Leonard play alongside Gip and Whitner in a lot of those third down situations. They like Poyer kind of in that robber role. He's a guy who can roam around very well. He covers tight ends incredibly effectively. So you will see him in some of those situations as well.
I think the reason you're going to see somebody like Leonard in there is he's familiar with coach's defense, and he's a guy that doesn't make very many mistakes. So when you come in as a backup, your goal is to try to help everybody not lose any ground, don't make mistakes. And I think Jim Leonard, the reason he's been around for 10-plus years, he doesn't make very many mistakes.
Yeah, to continue this conversation about the safeties, I mean, there were a few times where Jim Leonard was a step short or a step late that I thought a Tashawn Gibson steps in front of some of those Roddy White big digs big in routes that Tashawn either makes a catch tackle or a potential pass breakup or interception. And then also, too, is I got to give props to, and this is film study associated, with Dante Whitner stepping in front of that curl route, should have had a pick six. And then the second time they run the same route, I believe on third down, the ball gets tipped or knocked down, and he could have had another one. He was right there.
I know, he was right there again, and Kaywan actually had jumped too.
Yes.
Kaywan, if Whitner doesn't touch it, I bet Kaywan gets it, but... Oh, man, and I know that meant a lot.
That's all film study.
A chance to score
that's
a
all film study right
the
there.
Browns.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's how some of these have come.
I mean, and the reason, you know, Tashawn earlier in the year talked about how instrumental that Dante was with him in film study and all that. And I'm telling you, this film study, Matt, you know as a former player, and I know, Nate, you watch a lot of film yourself now.
That's right.
But when you study and know the tendencies, it pays big dividends, and that's the difference between a pro and just a guy that plays the game of football.
Well, and we've heard that from Tashawn Gibson, the interception down in Jacksonville. He knew when they motioned
and Buster
back
in
out.
Cincinnati.
Buster in Cincinnati knew the route that was coming. So yeah, obviously that is a big part of this. And you're right, it's the little things. And I think when people look at the Browns' defensive backfield, you've got a lot of talent there. And then you look at the coaching staff. You have three, Coach Halfley, Coach Babich, and Coach Aaron Glenn, who played in this league at a high level for a long time. And people said, that's a lot of coaches for one room. It's obviously helping. They all have their strengths. They're all working together, and this backfield has been fantastic thus far this season. And if you're just joining us, Tashawn Gibson, sources saying from various media reports now, Adam Kaplan, Mary Kay Cabot, Ian Rappaport as well. No official comment from the Browns yet, but they're saying that it is an MCL tear, no damage to the ACL, and that he could be back in 6 weeks, which would be in time for the Browns' playoff run, should they be able to make it there. Are they a playoff team? Let us know. 216-578-0850. Let's continue to react to this game here on, of course, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Zagura Wilhelm, Juravicious. We'll be back with more right after this.